2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle writing to this church, and we're listening and looking for hints that would give us understanding about when he wrote it. Critically important that we know, but it's good to find out if we can, okay? And we're going to run across that here in the portion of the passage that we're at. Last time we took a look at what the brother relayed to them and the Lord to us through this epistle about comfort, that our Lord is a great comforter of his people and his children, the comfort of God. He is the God of all comfort, verse number 3. And we can be comforted by the Lord comforting our brothers and sisters. We can be comforted by knowing that he is comforting them. We can have comfort ourselves in our own trial and tribulation. And I think what the apostle is doing here, and going on in this chapter beyond what we're going to look at this afternoon, it's for me the language is kind of difficult. It's kind of difficult for me to wring it out, but we're going to try. We're going to try to understand. The Lord help us in it. Forgive me for my itchy nose. I'm sorry about that. If you're superstitious, you'd think company's coming. Company is coming, but we're not superstitious. So there is company coming. A couple of our nieces with their children are coming. Anyway, he comforts. He talks to them and addresses them about comfort that they might understand. I think that the idea and the thinking is that they might understand all the things that he's gone through. He's going through for the elect's sake, for their sakes, and that they might see the reality of God working and the way the Lord brought them at the first and the way the Lord has saved them and can help them, and this strange doctrine that they've gone after they'd get back on track and listen to the apostle that the Lord has sent to them and the guidance that he gave them, the direction, admonition he gave them in the first epistle. They're still doubters at the church at Corinth. And he's kind of saying, look at this. This is unlike anything else in the world, the way the Lord works, the way the Lord uses means, as Brother Stephen has brought out recently in his Sunday school classes. That's the way the Lord works. That's the marvel. People give what they would never give for any other cause. But for the Lord's work, they do. And do so not grudgingly, but freely. Willingly. It's crazy. They'll do it with joy and in spite of it hurting. Okay. And so I think that's part of the appeal that he is making here. And he speaks to them about the consolation of the Lord and the reason for the consolation and how the Lord is able to give consolation. And he says here where we left off last time in verse number 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." And so when would that be? Okay, when would that be? We believe, I think we deduce that it had to be in the third missionary journey that the Apostle Paul wrote to them, because the second missionary journey, towards the middle to two-thirds part of it, is when he met them. So he couldn't have written to them. It's not likely in the context that he wrote to them that he wrote to them before. It just wouldn't make sense. But he's already met them. We know he was there for 18 months. Okay, so we have that from the book of Acts. And so from there on. Now, when he leaves, you take a look at your map. When he leaves Corinth, goes by Centuria there in Achaia in southern Greece, and then goes on over to Ephesus, and then from there sails on down to Caesarea. So that's a first contact at Ephesus for the apostle. And so then the church at Ephesus is, we've got some context about that. But when you take a look in the book of Acts, in that second missionary journey and this contact with Ephesus, he's just not there very long, or not much is written about it. Okay. Now, when he says Asia, that does mean Asia Minor. So that's like over in Galatia and such as that too. Asia really, if you really want to mince it, you've got Galatia and then you've got Western Turkey, which is Asia Minor or Asia and his reference to it. And so what could be the other possibility? Well, we know on the third missionary journey, on the way to Corinth again, going up through in Asia Minor, he came across those northern parts of Galatia and Asia Minor, and went to Ephesus there. And on the third missionary journey, there was quite the uprising. Okay? And then we know about the things that he suffered at Philippi too, and I think that was on the first missionary journey. I didn't get myself refreshed about that. So then, if it was at the second missionary or third missionary journey that he met the Philippian jailer, which I think it was the first, pretty sure it was the first, but we know at Ephesus there was a problem there. I mean, there was great trouble there. And then there's other things that we may not have been told about. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the trouble that came to us going through those parts, that we were pressed out of measure. Look at, to the extent, this is the apostle, right? The apostle's got all faith and is stalwart in his calling unto the Lord and, you know, is not fazed by anything, right? Isn't that our thinking? Listen to what he says. He's being very honest about the flesh, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, so pressed out of measure beyond what you can imagine, at least for our ability to cope with it. Above strength, we were pressed by the trouble that we had there above our physical and mental ability, in so much that we despaired even of life. Now, despaired even of life. Is he saying that they would have wished himself dead? I don't think in a bad sense. I by no means suicidal. But he knows and states that to live as Christ and to die as gain, right? Because to live as Christ is the ministry that the Lord's called him into. But to die is gain. He knows that. We are not to ever even consider self-murder. Okay, that's against the Lord. That's against the Lord. That is disobedient. But we could be brought to a point where we would say, Lord, just take me. Please take me. That could be. That could well be. They despaired even of life. It was so bad. Did they think that it was just going to go ahead and get so bad that they would be killed by it? Could be. He makes a reference in other studies that we've taken a look at about, and he mentions there to those at Corinth about having fought beasts at Ephesus. And there's a debate about that, whether he's actually talking about having been put in the circus, in the hippodrome, and was able to defeat the animals that would have been thrust upon him. Or if he's talking about the madness of the unbelieving and the vehemence of the Jews and the Gentiles getting it from both sides against the doctrine of Christ and the gospel of the Lord. And he says to him there at Corinth in that first epistle, doesn't he? He said, if I've done all this and there's no resurrection, what's the advantage? Why do I suffer this stuff, right? It's in 1 Corinthians 15. We read that. And so he says here, in so much that we despaired even of life. Well, I thought, well, maybe this is it. This is it. My mother and father-in-law, years, decades ago, they went over to Africa and visited a missionary, Weldon Fraser, and his wife Ginger there. And they went to Kruger Park to go see the park and see the animals there. And they had car trouble. It quit. And They were there that night, very near a pride of mating lions. And they had thoughts wondering, is this it? Because it very much could have been it. Could have been their end. But the Lord brought them through that and worked miraculously in their case. Paul says, we thought this was it. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. He said, when it gets down to hope, There's only one to have hope in. Lord, we're in your hands. Looks like we're done for, but we're in your hands. We need your help, Lord. You know we need your help. We're spent. We know nothing else to do. We're done. Lord, help us. He said, you look at us, we're dead. Look at the Lord. Well, he's the one that raises the dead, gives promises regarding such, doesn't he? What a great hope we have in that. And in 1 Corinthians 15, we saw about that. And so he said, we were brought in that great trouble there in Asia to look to our Lord. And listen to what he says. This is the focus here for this afternoon. We're just going to slow down and just take a look at this. Verse number 10. That we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great death, great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. There's a threefold thing there, isn't there? Speaking about death and death relative to us and what the Lord has done for us. He says, we were brought to the ends of ourself there in Asia and the things, the trouble that we had. And we were done. And the only thing that we had left to do is to trust in the Lord for our help and our deliverance. And obviously he did, because the brother is writing to the church here, right? So he's writing after the experience. He said, all that we had was to trust in the Lord who raiseth the dead. You know, the apostle, there's a testimony about him, about the things that he experienced, that there out of one of the cities, they drug him out of the city after having beat him and left him for dead. And the disciples are standing around him. And next thing you know, he gets up. We wonder about that account. I'm not saying that we wonder and that we doubt, but we wonder, did they pray? Were they waiting? They left him for dead. We don't have an indication that he was dead, but he could have been. Okay? The Lord's power is great and able that way. The Lord raised from the dead. His disciples raised from the dead. The Lord has that power. He said, there in Asia with our trouble, all we had was left was the trust in the Lord. With us, the sentence of death is on us. We're done. We're spent. But you know what? The Lord is able to raise the dead. And he's raised us from so great a death. Ephesians chapter 2, we're very familiar with it. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Think about that. Dead in trespasses and sins. We're dead. We're dead in our sin because of our sin, the power of sin. Death is the sting of sin. And there we are, naturally, dead. And the thing is in death, we're not relieved of our sins, are we? In death, we're not relieved of our trespasses against God. We're there spiritually dead, on our way to physical death. And you know what? There's nothing anybody could do about it. Mom and daddy couldn't do anything about it. Your loved one, your spouse who loves you dearly could do nothing about it. But God could. And the Lord has, hadn't he? He saved us. Who delivered us from so great a death. A great death. You know, what does the scripture say? Well, there in Ephesians 2, we're dead in trespasses and sins. That's our natural state. What's it say in Romans 6:23? For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The payday for sin is death. It's coming. That song we sing, hell is coming and death is moving. And that's the way that it is. It's coming to everyone. Like a man that traveleth, it's on its way. And there is nothing we can do to deliver ourselves from it. But God can. And for we that are saved, God has, hadn't he? He says, we were spent. You take a look at our ability, we're going to die. But we were despairing of life. The sentence of death was in ourselves. And we were brought to the point that we just had nothing more that we could do and not trust in ourselves, but trust in the Lord, which raises the dead. He delivered us from so great a death. In Romans chapter 8, in verse number 2, I want to read here what the scripture says regarding this of death. Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. Well, verse number 1 also, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. An impossibility that the dead can live again, isn't it? It's impossible, right? But not with the Lord. He said, we were reminded of this in Asia, and I want to bring this to you that even in your life there at Corinth, maybe not suffering to the extreme the things that we are suffering, but in your life and in your consideration of doctrine, your consideration of service there in the church, in consideration of you, individual member that would claim Paul or claim Apollos or claim Cephas. Look what the Lord's done for you. You need to look to him and rest in him and trust in him and believe him who delivered us from so great a death. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's a miracle that we have passed, that we've come from death and going over to life. It's a miracle. It's impossible for us because we were dead in trespasses and sins. Death is all we knew, and our sin just brought it. And it's a great death who delivered us from so great a death, he says. We think about death and I can't help but think what it says over here in Revelation chapter 20 about death. John makes a remark about it in chapter 2 to one of the churches there and where what the Lord says about it. But in Revelation chapter 20, look here in verse number 6. Blessed is holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. That's how great a death it was. I say that from the context of a believer. That's how great a death it is for you who are not saved. Death will lead to the second death if you leave out of here without Christ as Savior. You leave out of here unrepentant and unbelieving. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Also in verse number 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire at the great white throne judgment. This is the second death. All those that were there were cast in. And then chapter 21 and verse number 8, we see here, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He writes to us there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death. A great death it is. And if he has done so, Can he not help us now, even if we have the sentence of death upon ourselves? It is so, the situation, the persecution, the trial, the turmoil, the load, the burden so great that we would even despair of life. Is he not able to help us and deliver us? He declares, yes, he is. He helped us. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about that. I don't want you to be to not know the account. If he is writing as he's coming up there towards Troas and maybe up through Macedonia before he comes on around to Corinth on that third journey, he's letting them know these things in advance before he gets to them. Because if that is the case, he said, we've endured these things so we can make it physically to you. He's going to make a reference, I believe, to that. Coming up. Also, he says here in the second part of this, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. And doth deliver. This is the practical thing of the help that we need now, right? Because we got, do you forget anything? Yeah, I forget a lot. You know what that's a result of? We're dying. We're faced with death every day, or facets or aspects of death. We've talked about recently about our loved ones and our seniors and how we took a look about the resurrection and what it said there in 1 Corinthians 15. It's sown in dishonor. You know, they used to be strong. They used to be strong like some of you are still strong in your 30s. Brother Doug turned 51 and he says, oh, wouldn't it be neat to be 30 again and saved, right? You know, I just can't lift up and do and go as long and as far as I used to. It's because of death. There is a sense, my pastor used to say it. He said, this old world has wore out a lot of people. And it has. That's what's happened to it. It wears us out. And you know what? As he's pleading them about their understanding of the Lord and the deliverance and the power of the Lord, the presence of the Lord, the working of the Lord, even in them, he says he can help you too with your problems, with your life. He can help you about your doubt of the resurrection. Look to him and listen to him what he says. Your lack of service, the brother that had to be disciplined there and his waywardness and taking his father's wife to marry or fornication and that. He, Lord, look to the Lord. Hear him and obey him in what he says. Cleave to what he has said. He does deliver us now. He helps us now. In Hebrews chapter 4, and again, I've referenced that here lately, about the threefold rest of the Lord. It's connected to this. You get tired, I'll tell you what, by the time this day is over with, by the time this week's over with, we're going to be tired. But you know what? The Lord has what we need. And he can give us rest even now. That threefold rest found in Hebrews chapter 4. Rest in salvation. A rest in service. It's a rest in service. In obedience to the Lord. He doth now deliver. I say, well, man, if I go do for the Lord, if I go to this, I go serve him, I go worship him and all that, I'm just going to be so tired. Tell you what, he's got power and strength that you and I will never see until we go ahead and step out by faith and obedience to him. It's only then we don't ever get it in advance. Get it right on time when you need it. That's the way he does. He doth now deliver. Threefold rest of the Lord we find there in Hebrews. He rest in salvation, rest in service, and that rest to come. Now's the time to work. Now's the time to be tired. Use it for the Lord, because one day indeed we will rest. I wonder how it's going to be in the millennial reign. I wonder what our job is going to be, what the Lord's going to assign us. But don't you know we're going to be like the angels? We're going to have a body like Christ. We'll see him face to face. And understand this, brothers and sisters, the angels can get around fast. And you realize if maybe our assignment is over here in Logan County, Kentucky, I wouldn't be surprised with the way the Lord works. Who knows what our assignment will be, but it could very well be right in the place where we were. I don't know. And that's just speculation on my part. It could be Australia. Who knows? But the Lord knows. But you know what? You'll be able to make the trip like that, and you won't even huff nor puff. Won't even be winded. And the Lord said, go back and do this, and say, okay, and there you go. I said, Brother Jim, that's pie in the sky. No, that's what the Lord has promised. That's the power and ability of the Lord. We're going to be like our Lord Jesus and partake of his glory in that respect. We'll be able to do anything and everything. That'll be the time of rest. And we'll be able to do more than we've physically ever done and be able to do it forever. We know that that's so. We just cannot comprehend it, can we? But I tell you what, it's good to try. Amen? I mean, I tell you what, it's good to try and to rest in that promise. Who delivered us from so great a death, that spiritual death, and great it is all the way to the second death. Oh, it's just so invasive and pervasive. It's just death and the death upon us in every aspect of our being. A death in a veil where there are many that don't even know that it's going on. And you and I, we've been illuminated that we might see. There's people that don't have a clue that that's happening to them. But he's delivered us from that great death. He doth now deliver us here in this life. And he says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He's not saying, and we're really hoping that he'll get the last part of it done too. He's not saying that. We trust in him that he will deliver us. Just like I described before, that third rest, that rest in eternity, that body like Christ, being totally and completely mind and body relieved of sin. That'll be wonderful, won't it? No hindrance. No hindrance anymore. Not innocent like Adam was made, but holy and righteous in every whit, like our Lord Jesus. We're not going to become him. I'm not saying that, but we will have every characteristic like the Lord. We'll be totally conformed to his image, won't we? Not even the thought of sin. And when we face sin, even during the millennial reign, it will have no corruptive effect on us. We will stand in and with the truth always. Isn't that something? You know what it says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's read it here quickly. He will deliver us. We look forward to it. This is our hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, or 1 Thessalonians rather, chapter 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, have died in Christ, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. We have an eternal hope in our Lord. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. This reference of sleep in the Lord, it is indeed physical death. But that's the way death is with the Lord. It's just like sleep for you and me. I believe he describes it this way that we might understand the power of the Lord in it. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, verse 15, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And they are comforting words, aren't they? The graves of the Lord's people are going to open up and they're going to come out. Just like it happened there at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I think that's a testimony to us. And whether we agree, one would agree with graves opening up or not, it doesn't matter. We know we will raise. We will be raised by our Lord. He will. We trust in him that he will make good on his promise to deliver us. He's delivered us from a great death eternally. He does deliver us now, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Verse 11 in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. And so I think he's referencing that which has been supplied. And we saw some about that at the ending of the epistle in 1 Corinthians. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. So there's prayers that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. So that help, you were used by the Lord to deliver us in that trial and affliction that we had, that despairing that we had. The Lord used you. We're thankful for you, and you're thankful to have helped us. So we'll pick it up here next time, and you'd be reading and praying that the Lord would help us and give us wisdom and understanding about it. Again, some of the wording here is at least more difficult for me, but we're going to try to understand what the Lord is conveying unto us, and may he help us in every way.